Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin on this Tuesday afternoon, June the 24th. One of the headlines, this comes from the New York Times, in fact, has to do with the shortage of priests in the Roman Catholic Church. Of course, that's a perennial story, isn't it? It's one that comes up all the time. But is there a story behind this story? No conspiracy theory, just a plain old demographics about birth rates, not just for Roman Catholics, but across the board with greater ramifications than just for Roman Catholics and their priesthood. Joining us to talk about media coverage of the shortage of Roman Catholic priests, Terry Mattingly. He's director of the Washington Journalism Center at the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities. He's author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hey, good to talk to you again.
Is this just a problem, the aging and the dwindling of the priesthood ranks in the United States? Is it just a problem of recruitment?
Well, no, it isn't. But we really need to not just pin this on the Roman Catholics, because what we're seeing with the Catholic priesthood issue is just one highly symbolic door into what I think is one of the more interesting problems of our time. Let me pose a question back to you, if I may. That's sometimes kind of nasty to do, but I'll try it. Is the problem of Christianity in Europe simply a matter of Muslim immigration problems?
Absolutely not.
Right. Behind that are problems involving the church and whether or not it's grown. And above all, there is this issue of this demographic number, which is that many European countries, Italy leaps to mind, Greece leaps to mind, are looking at birth rates of something like, 1.1, 1.2, way before replacement. We could ask the same question if you walked into a liberal, old-line Protestant church in America and you noticed that an overwhelming number of the people sitting in the pews had gray hair, and that there were like four or five women for every man sitting there. Is that just the result of bad preaching?
I wouldn't think so. I think that's a broader demographic at work.
Exactly. So this is the subtle point about the priesthood issue that keeps showing up in story after story. As celibacy is obviously an issue here, and celibacy versus the spirit of the modern age. And we could go on and on with that, but I think the press needs to start realizing that in religion stories, there are factors related to demographics and birth rates that must be taken into account. Let me give you another more subtle one. In the Southern Baptist Convention right now, there has been a slight decrease in membership over, say, the last decade or so. It's beginning to make headlines. The Southern Baptists are decreasing. Southern Baptists in particular are very upset that they don't have as many baptism statistics as they used to. Well, behind the scenes, something else is very interesting. Something very else is going on that's interesting. The Southern Baptists would be in way worse shape right now if it wasn't for the fact that, kind of ironically, in light of their national image, they're doing pretty well in ministry with African Americans and Latinos, much more so than a lot of the more liberal mainline churches. In fact, Pentecostal Christians are doing way better, with ethnic groups than the liberal mainline. And the Southern Baptists are doing pretty well as well. So if you took away the Baptist growth among African Americans and Latinos, they really would be having numerical problems. You look underneath that, and what do you find? A declining birth rate among Southern Baptists and also the fact that kind of suburban Sunbelt America isn't as big family friendly, or hard times in the economy has made certain regions not as friendly to large families, etc. You end up looking back at that birth rate and demographics question again. So I see that as a huge part of the Roman Catholic priesthood story that is just not being reported. And the New York Times recently did a really interesting article where they went up into the Midwest and they looked at two small towns that were producing an unusually high number of Roman Catholic priests. And these, of course, were very old Catholic cultural communities. And they were doing lots of good things to promote the priesthood. They were hearing about it a lot in church. Young men were getting a lot of support from other students in their Catholic schools. You know, all of that was going on. And then you get to the very bottom of this lengthy story about these communities, and they're interviewing one mother who's had two of her sons go into the priesthood, a set of twins, in fact, and it just casually drops that these are two of her 11 children. Well, okay, quite literally, do the math. If you have a Roman Catholic family in an American suburb, and they have two children, and one of them's a boy and one of them's a girl, do you think they're encouraging that boy to go into the priesthood?
Probably not.
You think they're encouraging their daughter, in that case, to become a religious, become a nun who teaches in a school?
Highly unlikely.
I mean, can you say grandkids? Well, this is a simple reality that looms over a lot of the discussions of the future of the priesthood in the United States. In fact, it affects other denominations, even when celibacy isn't involved. I'm Eastern Orthodox right now, and I've seen some interesting articles about the situation in some branches of Orthodoxy, the Greek Orthodox Church, for example. Birth rates are way down, and all of a sudden, there's kind of a shortage of Greek Orthodox priests these days. What we're seeing here is the old phrase, demographics is destiny. A family with more children is much more likely to be open when one of those boys at the dinner table one night says, you know, I'm really haunted by this idea of whether or not God is calling me to the priesthood. If there's four or five children in that family and two or three or four sons, I would imagine that traditional Catholic dad at the other end of the table is much more likely to say, good grief, that's amazing, we really need to talk about that, than if that's the only son and the bearer of the family's name. This is an example of a deeply, profoundly religious issue, whether or not to have children, how many children to have, what you think of the modern world in terms of raising your children. All kinds of issues pop out into the open there the second you look at the demographics.
Terry Mattingly is our guest. We're talking about media coverage of the shortage of Roman Catholic priests. When we come back, what about the expectation not only of large families among Catholics that has gone the way of the world, but also the expectation of sending a son or a daughter into holy orders? We'll be right back.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
In Hosea 4, we read, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." At the CLCC, we educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Christians would if they learned what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website at theclcc.org. See what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us and encourage your pastors to hold an event in your area. For more information, go to theclcc.org.
Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Terry Mattingly of GetReligion.org is our guest. We're talking about media coverage of the shortage of Roman Catholic priests. You were talking before about large families, the demographics there being key in telling this story, even from a religion angle. I'm wondering, Terry, and this may be entirely mythical, but I don't think it is. A previous generation of Roman Catholics often relay stories of not only the expectation as faithful Roman Catholics of having a large family, but also the expectation of that family sending a son, if not a son and a daughter, into holy orders.
Yeah, I think expectation might be too strong a word. I would prefer to say that there was also a lot of pride that previous generations had included priests and even a bishop or something like that. There was this sense of ownership, you know, for lack of any better word, that they felt a part of the fabric of the church in previous generations. And hey, kids, that would be wonderful if that legacy continued. I think that's a different expectation to look around the table and say, okay, guys, which one is it? It's not quite that. In previous Catholic cultures, I think it had more to do with, like I said, being a part of the church. And let's face it, up until the 20th century, this was also a remarkable chance for young women in particular to go to school, to do things as missionaries and other things that they might not have ever done, you know, in terms of vocation. The religious life, instead of give it all up, is the way many children today might see the becoming a nun or a monk or whatever. In previous generations, that was considered kind of a leadership thing. That was considered an outstanding role in the community that was something you might want to take seriously for reasons of kind of a holy ambition.
How did the New York Times cover, as you say, it's kind of the perennial story in the New York Times of the general crisis of the Roman Catholic priesthood? How did they cover it with regard to the issue we've been discussing?
Well, this was a much better story than normal in the Times in recent years. In fact, there are some good signs that the Metro desk and the National desk of the New York Times is making an honest-to-goodness attempt to look at religion in human terms instead of thinking that it's all just politics. I would call to your attention a piece a couple of days ago, which was written up at Get Religion by Bobby Ross, about the story of a Christian convert in Afghanistan who is literally on the run for his life. Well, I mean, that was an attempt to see Afghanistan through the eyes of one individual with an amazing story to tell, instead of just saying, and now back to the Afghan war. It took religion seriously as a personal story. It put a face on it. Well, this story about the towns in the Midwest was clearly a similar attempt. And the mention of the larger family came at the end, but I don't think the reporters and editors who produced that piece really realized what they were saying. Either that, or they were frankly scared to raise the issue of contraceptives. And they didn't want to say, like, uh-oh, there might actually be, for traditional Catholics, a negative effect of a generation or two of Catholics ignoring their church teachings on contraceptive and their church's teachings affirming the gift of children in large families. So it's like maybe there was this door at the end, and the editors either saw it or they didn't see it. I don't know, because I wasn't involved in the production of the story. But certainly they walked past a door that they could have opened and taken the story much deeper.
So did they deal at all with the parallel that one might find in mainline Protestantism?
No. No, they didn't. That was not there at all, to say the least. You know, and this, like I said, I want to stress that the Southern Baptist Convention is working with some of these issues. I would assume in the Missouri Synod Lutheran Church that there are schools in some parts of America, particularly in urban areas, where enrollments are not as high as they used to be. And if you looked at the local churches that used to fuel them, you might find a difference in family size. This is a part of American life today. I would assume in the Christian Reformed Church, another church with a long, proud, historic legacy of Christian schools, I wonder if some of their enrollment issues don't have something to do with family size. And then meanwhile, now you look at Catholic schools in your local neighborhood. In many of the nation's most proudest dioceses, you're seeing parishes closing. You're seeing non-suburban schools closing down. And if you visit those people and you go to those institutions, you look around and you find a lack of children. You find smaller families, absent families. You find this issue again. You know what? There's a lot of evangelical Protestants out there that lead churches and lead denominations and lead schools that might ought to start thinking about this for a second. It might actually have something to do with why they've been spending so much time trying to recruit homeschoolers in the last decade, because those ordinary suburban families just don't have as many kids in them as they used to.
I'm just trying to think of it in very general terms, because I'm not a sociologist, I'm not a demographer, but if the birth rate is either at or below replacement levels, and it looks like in the United States that it might be headed that direction, it sounds like this is a crisis that needs not only recognition from the press with regard to religious demographics, the precipitous decline of mainline Protestantism, the lack of priests in the Roman Catholic Church. But that has, I'll use the word, untold economic and sociological effects in the future, doesn't it?
It certainly does. But I think right now for the press, it would be most interesting and probably an easier story to write to flip the lens around and look at something else. The Weekly Standard had a piece a couple of years ago that I remember had a very provocative paragraph in it that it simply said, odds are if you find a family in the United States of America with four or more children, 90% of the time you will find a family that has made that decision for religious reasons. So if we're in an era where the highly, intensely religious segment of our population, approximately 20%, if that's where family life and growth is being centered, there are lots of other stories to write elsewhere in the spectrum. I mean, I'm seeing polls now claiming that we have 20 to 25% of Americans that are either atheist, agnostic, or religiously unaffiliated. I'm sure you've seen waves of headlines about the Pew Forum study on that. Okay, what's going on in that segment of the population when it comes to children? What's going on in that segment of the population when it comes to marriages? In other words, you could look at it in several ways. You could look at the lives of the very religious, but that same demographic issue should be applied to other segments of the population as well.
Finally, with about a minute here, Terry, I imagine that had they dug a little, the New York Times reporters and editors could have found some prescient comments from the Vatican on a subject like this. Because the Vatican has addressed birth rates, for about the last 30 years, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, you know what? There actually were comments on this subject in that major piece of writing that came out last year from that man they love to quote so much, Pope Francis. You know, I bet you all it would take is a scan of some of his writings, sermons, and, hey, aren't we going to have a conference in America, in Philadelphia, here in a year or two on the future of the Catholic family? Might be time to get ready.
Terry Mattingly is director of the Washington Journalism Center at the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities. He's author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate, and he's founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, thanks for being our guest.
Glad to be here.
We have a new underwriter here for Issues Etc. and for Lutheran Public Radio, our 24/7 sacred music station. It's Bethany Lutheran College in Mankato, Minnesota. Bethany Lutheran College is committed to making Christian higher education affordable. They have generous financial aid packages. If you have a high school age child or grandchild, encourage them to check out Bethany Lutheran College in Mankato, Minnesota. Their website, blc.edu. That's easy to remember, blc.edu. For more information, give them a call toll-free, 1-800-944-3066, 1-800-944-3066. Bethany Lutheran College, Mankato, Minnesota. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
What are some practical and personal issues facing many single men and women? And how can singles live secure in Christ? The Issues Etc. book of the month for June is Hello, My Name is Single. It's written by regular guest Adrian Dorr Heinz. Hello, My Name is Single is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can find out more about Hello, My Name is Single at issuesetc.org.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as His baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.